And we're back one last time. You hit the Mission Impossible music in the intro, and you are here for another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar. We are re-ranking the Mission Impossible movies. Going to have a little bit of a fun, quick episode for you guys today. We spent so much time going throughout the six Mission Impossible movies. We just released our review of Fallout a couple days ago, so we wanted to kind of give you an official re-rank of all things Mission Impossible universe, our seventh and probably last episode in this review series until we talk about Fallout again sometime in the future, hopefully with Oscar time. Welcome to another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar. I am your co-host, Mike One. This is co-host also Mike.
Also Mike here. Yes, we did this at the end of the MCU,
yes,
which was fun. That was 20 movies. Hopefully, I mean, if 20 movies takes an hour, then this will only take 25 minutes, but then we'll jibber-jabber for longer.
This is going to be a solid two-hour pod, I think. So, yeah, let's dive right into it. If you have been with us throughout, thank you for taking the time for this one as well. If you have not, if you just joined us for our Fallout review, welcome aboard. We're Mike, Mike, and Oscar. We are an Oscar-centric focused podcast, but sometimes during the Oscar offseason, we spread our wings a little bit, and we kind of stumbled backwards into a Oscar contender.
And it's fortunate for us.
Yeah.
We did the MCU with probably two legitimate contenders for Best Picture at this point, obviously for visual effects and other categories. Now we have just a banger. We have a movie in Mission Impossible Fallout that we rank as high as anything we've seen this year.
Arguably our most satisfying movie of the year for us, anyway.
And we had five rewatches that were pretty darn satisfying. Number two that we didn't like. It was awesomely bad in many ways.
It had moments of ridiculousness, but also it was terrible. Don't watch it.
So we're going to talk about a couple categories here. We're going to use our theme of should we choose to accept it? And we're going to talk about it from the angle of what was the craziest in our minds, correct?
Yes. What is, if we were the Ethan Hunt character, given these mission objectives, which one, at what point would we have said, nah, fuck this?
No. Listen, I could barely do a cartwheel right now. So that's all of them?
Barely. Look at Mr. Olympia over here.
I don't know if this angle is going to work actually now, but what's the craziest action movie?
Right.
Moment or action movie.
Basically just ranking them in order of difficulty to the ear. Yeah.
So should we choose to accept the heist is our first category.
All right.
The knock list sequence where he's hanging from cables from the duct.
That's
with a
gotta
mouse,
be up there, doesn't
Mission
it?
Impossible 1.
The degree of difficulty and the iconic imagery of that scene alone, it's gotta be up there.
Incorporating the mouse, Jean Reno with the sniffles. There's so many things going on.
Could have gone wrong there.
You can't sweat. You can't change the temperature. You can't make noise. What if you farted? Yeah, great
scene.
I'll go right to Mission Impossible 3 with this. There wasn't a great heist in 2. Getting Philip Seymour Hoffman out of the Vatican from Mission Impossible 3. It's a very elaborate sequence, but it's really cool, especially in the bathroom, kind of in the middle of it.
And you have an appreciation for what Philip Seymour Hoffman actually had to do on set, running across the rafters as Tom Cruise obviously put on the infamous mask to become him. Obviously, in real life, that's PSH doing those stunts.
For Oscar critics, there's a lot of nice little nuggets in that sequence where Philip Seymour Hoffman is acting a certain way.
Oh, it's Tom Cruise so good. He's awesome.
Acting a certain way. You got a lot of different costume changes for the whole group of the team.
Yeah.
You know, the IMF there. So the bridge ambush from MI3, it's a heist of a different kind. Again, we're not really giving away spoilers. We're alluding to a lot of big moments here. But the bridge ambush, crazy that it was shot on green screen. And this was the middle of Mission Impossible 3.
Yeah, so green screen heavy, which we were shocked to learn.
J.J. Abrams at his best in terms of action movie brilliance here.
High degree of difficulty.
Iconic shot, Tom Cruise getting slammed with an explosive blast into a car,
Philip Seymour Hoffman kind of giving a sly, wry wave goodbye as he's going away. Oh, beautiful stuff.
Still in Mission Impossible 3, that's, count them, 3 from Mission Impossible 3 here. Getting the rabbit's foot from in Shanghai, last minute, smash and grab, literally, swinging between one skyscraper to another after shooting a bunch of baseballs. Awesome scene from Tom Cruise there.
Yes.
Then, you know, falling from the skyscraper on a parachute that doesn't work for all that great. Thank you again, Benji.
Yes.
The Kremlin infiltration from Gross Protocol, which is the porn version again. No, Ghost Protocol's Kremlin infiltration sequence.
Probably the best use of most innovative tech, maybe?
Great tech in that scene. Simon Pegg banter is really fun in that sequence. You got them goofing off and making mistakes.
Shit goes wrong.
We got
very, very wrong.
We have fun questions on if we watch Tom Cruise get out. We don't know how Simon Pegg got out. Yes. Tom Cruise barely got out and got hospitalized or whatever.
Simon Pegg's got a six pack under that army fatigues.
Anyway, scaling the Burj Khalifa.
I have
in
a
Dubai
feeling you have something to say about this.
From Ghost Protocol, I think this was a phenomenal sequence. Again, tech going wrong, having malfunctions involved.
It was a tough couple of movies for Simon Pegg. Tough couple movies for him. But yes, the iconic, infamous scenes of Tom Cruise climbing. Go ahead.
We went over the plots of all this. I don't remember why the hell they had to do any of it. I just remember it was very necessary.
A lot of it was server-based. We have to get to the server, which can only be accessed in this one room.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it worked like hell for me. Moving to the fifth movie, The Underwater Chip Exchange from Rogue Nation.
See, this may be a winner. This may be a
winner. 3 minutes underwater in reality. I think if it was one take like it was originally meant, it might have won it for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's tough. Tough call.
But if you were given the instruction that you had to get this chip from an underwater thing and hold your breath for 3 minutes and rely on somebody else to open a hatch and all this stuff, that's tough. That's a high degree of difficulty for an agent.
So we're not really adding stuff from MI6 yet.
We don't want to.
So we'll kind of talk about the other five here. So what do you think, Mike?
We're doing our best to tiptoe around MI6 without giving away many spoilers. Right. Listen, for me, if I was an agent, right, the two that stick out, the rabbit's foot, you're basically paragliding. Philip Seymour Hoffman out of the Vatican, you're basically using a vent. the bridge ambush, you don't know what's coming, so you can't really prepare for that. You know what's coming kind of in the moment if you're Ethan.
Sure.
For me, it comes down to...
Didn't have the foreplay for you, the bridge ambush.
Right,
right. Okay.
For me, it comes down to the knock list. From MI1.
Started it all.
Or the underwater chip exchange from Rogue Nation.
That's cool.
Those are the two that if I was told in this mission, this thing was self-destruct, I would have let it self-destruct and then like gone to the grocery store and gotten some Hostess donuts and just watched some TV. I mean, I'm not doing that.
Very good. So I'll count down to my final two then. I am so deathly afraid of heights. That the scaling of the Burj Khalifa,
I knew you would have that in
Ghost Protocol, and then the swinging from one skyscraper to the other in Shanghai in Mission Impossible 3, those just make me die inside.
Yeah,
just watching that and freak me out so much. So those are my final two.
We had four different ones. We are terrible secret agents. We don't want to do any of this.
I don't want to go up high. Like, I'll jump in the water and die. At least I'll be stupid enough to try it. But
see,
I don't
the jumping in the water
high.
Thing, if we were secret agents now, I'm too fat to hold my breath for 3 minutes. So I would do like a minute and a half.
And I smoke various things. So I'm with you. I would die very quickly in all those scenarios.
You have to hold your breath for 3 minutes. Oh, I can't do that. But you can learn yourself. You can no.
We gasp for air on this podcast, and we edit it out constantly. Where we're just like... just from talking and drinking soda.
With along those lines, coffee. Those gloves probably wouldn't support us if we were hanging on the side of the tallest
absolutely
building in the
not.
World. So yeah. what would you be your winner?
The Burj Khalifa, because yes. Tom Cruise scaled the yes. highest building in the world.
I think it would be the knock list, because I have an unreliable digestion system, so I would not make the sound or the heat thing. I wouldn't make it. I would be dead.
You would be surrounded by FBI goons.
Immediately.
For sure.
All right.
And then that you're afraid of mice, is what you're telling me
secretly?
A little bit,
yeah.
That's the subtext of this entire category.
I don't trust the guy from...
Leon the Professional.
That's it. That's the movie I was trying to come up with. Jean Reno, yes.
Okay, should we choose to accept the fight?
This is going
to
be a good list. It's some epic ones.
We have the beach fight between...
I mean, if for no other reason than the gun kick up at the end.
The gun kick up.
Just beautiful John Woo stuff.
Oh, my God. I guess you could kind of subset the fight storming the Dove base. Well, the
that
doves.
Should have been an impossible mission. The impossible mission of getting all those doves in one area.
It's true. The production story should have won the last category. I neglected to mention that.
You got to make sure they don't fly away, you see.
Right. The beach fight. The elevator fight from MI3.
Laying the groundwork for Captain America to come later on. Yeah.
Into the Shanghai Streets with Philip Seymour Hoffman, Tom Cruise, the
tussle. Like, yeah, I feel like everything that took place there at the end of MI, I feel like MI3 in general is a vastly underrated picture, mm-hmm. but I feel like everything that took place, the beauty, we talk about the beauty of these landscapes in 4, 5, 6, certainly, go back and listen to it, we just released it. 3 was no joke on those, that town, that Shanghai-type town that Tom Cruise is sprinting through. I thought it was beautiful just as much.
That fight got me. There's a lot of other factors working yeah. into that. Paula Patton versus Lea Seydoux in Mission Impossible 4 goes protocol
just
there.
I want more, damn it. I just want more from
the
them.
The height involved. And then, yeah, that was nasty. I remember cringing, just going, yeah. ooh.
Yeah. Kind of out of nowhere.
And not in a sexual, creepy way. I'm just like, they're beating the shit out of each yeah. other. And it's, oh, they're like scraping their elbows and stuff. Oh, my God.
Those are two badass women.
That was a physical ass fight there. The Vienna Opera House, it's really kind of above the stage. Tom Cruise is fighting all these assassins. It's a crazy. They're on top of the lighting things.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fights involved there in Rogue Nation.
The three-headed sniper fight, too, there.
Yes. Yeah. You have Ilsa and Ethan. They fight out of a lair early on in this movie.
Yes.
That's a great sequence.
But let's be honest, it only laid the groundwork for the best fight in the series, which
Ilsa Faust versus the Bone Doctor.
That's my winner.
In the columns.
That's my winner. The setting was beautiful. The fight was so well choreographed. You have a woman finally getting the ass-kicking service needed at the end of a Mission Impossible movie. That, for me, I just think is better than a close second would be the gun kick-up. No, that's a joke. But yes, that for me, Rebecca Ferguson. Paula Patton and Lea Seydoux, it would have been up there, but I wanted more. I wanted at the end of the movie, and I wanted more.
I think my favorite moment in all of these fight scenes is in the lair with the Bone Doctor, Tom Cruise, getting himself off the pipe.
You liked it. You referenced that a bunch, yeah.
I think you're right. I think Ilsa Faust versus the Bone Doctor is the best sequence in terms of putting my film critic hat on. The nastiest fight is Paula Patton versus Lea Seydoux.
Agree.
A couple of disclaimers there.
But Paula Patton and Lea Seydoux, as well as the elevator fight in Mission Impossible 3, I just wanted more.
Okay.
That's why they're out of the running.
Let's talk about something from MI6 here, because it's so obvious. The bathroom rumble.
It's got to be up there. It might be number one.
It's probably number one, yeah, correct?
It might be number one. It's beautiful, and it's funny, and good it's God. Just well done.
Should we choose to accept the chase?
Okay. All right.
On the speeding train in Mission Impossible 1, we have...
They played physics well with that one.
I loved it. I loved it. That really sold me on this whole rewatch project.
And you're just fresh off a big twist being revealed?
I don't remember loving the series as much as you kind of had the hype going.
I tell you, and we referenced this in our Rogue Nation recap. Yeah. We both kind of were like, yeah, I remember having fun at them. And then in this rewatch, we're like, oh, my God.
This is a good
movie. These are good movies.
that sequence really hyped me up for the,
yeah,
for the
totally.
These next four movies. Obviously, the Knocklist sequence as well from that first movie. Okay, moving on. This motorcycle chase from MI2.
So as well as the physics were in MI1.
Right.
The physics of a truck hitting a motorcycle and then a giant fireball happening as a result. A little off.
There's a lot of wind in the hair. There's a lot of hair to be
a lot of hair.
Winded.
A lot of hair to be winded.
To be blown. Yeah, it's got style. It's got style.
The hair or the we stuck in the hair?
The helicopter battle after the Kerry Russell heist. I almost put the Kerry Russell heist from MI3 in one of the heists early, so they're getting
this
her
is
out.
Beautiful as well,
but
yeah.
But this is where I'm including it, in the chase sequence between helicopters in that wind forest of
the
wind
turbines.
Yeah,
they're going, the turbines are going
what they call
slowly,
that.
But the helicopters had to time it to go between. It was really... Innovation has been a strong point of this series. We said it a lot of the last couple episodes, but it's true.
The sandstorm in Mission Impossible 4
gorgeous.
Ghost Protocol. We loved it. We gushed.
Absolutely gorgeous.
And again, that's tacked on upon that central sequence with the Burj Khalifa
there
in Dubai.
I don't know. I don't have a winner yet, by the way. This is tough.
It's hard. This is getting hard. Chasing Michael Nyquist in the parking garage. I count it as a chase scene.
Sure.
You can also put it as a fight scene, but I kind of already had a bunch of fight scenes, so I think it was harrowing.
The lasting image from that isn't a fight. It's a chase.
It's a crazy
decision made by Ethan Hunt.
My goodness. We have the motorcycle chase Ethan involved, Ilsa Faust involved, and Rogue Nation, and I want to say it's Morocco.
Pick the best cinematography from this list. I mean, how can you do it? Is it the sandstorm? Is it this motorcycle chase?
In terms of the cinematography, even that motorcycle chase is pretty phenomenal. And the speeding train, the visual effects of the speeding train are iffy at one point, but it's 1996.
Right.
It's really hard to
You're getting a lot out of it for a 96 movie.
We can mention the Paris chase in Fallout. We're not going to tell you anything about it. It ranks up there.
Go see Fallout.
In terms of the three categories, this is probably the toughest
one. This is tough. This is, man, making me pick a.
What are you
pick
thinking?
My favorite child here. I am a sucker for that sandstorm, but I don't know that I can get past some of the decisions made, such as traffic keeps moving. There's convertibles in the scene. Why are you doing this? There's a sandstorm coming. You can see it. It happens often. That's probably the most beautiful to me, but I can't pick that one for that reason. It might be the Nyquist scene at the end of MI4 there. Just because
I like
a capable baddie, and I like when he just puts it all out there.
I think my favorite at the end of the day is the helicopter battle, that whole sequence. Again, I'm kind of cheating
there.
It's
really good.
Because it's a fight. It's, they storm the warehouse. There's a lot going on.
Cliche. There's no wrong answer, yeah.
I loved how they incorporated other ticking clocks into that scene as a screenwriting trope. Now, let's be honest. If we did include more stuff from Fallout, especially in the finale of Fallout, involving something that rhymes with schmelicopters, that we would choose that at number one.
Yes.
All right, so that's our kind of fun lead up into our final re-rank now. Mission Impossible Fallout is our number ones, but let's
pretend that we don't know yet.
These other five.
Yeah, so let's talk about these as if we're pre-Fallout, because we'll get to it at the end. Fallout is our number ones, but let's start at six or five. We'll call it six for the purposes of this argument. Again, it's obvious.
It's a no-brainer.
It's Mission Impossible 2, because it's not really a Mission Impossible movie. It's a John Woo
movie. Creating the doc, preparing for that podcast, recording that podcast, listening, re-listening to that podcast on Mission Impossible 2, in terms of levels of fun, I would rank it higher, but no.
Yeah,
of
it was absurdly hilarious. Six. That episode is very, I agree. It's absurd, but it's one of the most fun episodes we've had just because of the badness, the misogyny, the just terribleness.
We crush it.
So yes, Mission Impossible 2, again, not a Mission Impossible
movie. Now it gets interesting, because these other four movies are very close for me in terms of grades, close for me in terms of how much I enjoyed them. I'm sure we're going to, unveil some preferences
here. I saw your list, and I think we very much disagree on one of them, but I'm not positive. So you go first. What's your number 5/pre-Fallout 4?
It's Mission Impossible 1. It's a tough call. It's a tough call. I just love the rest of the movies a little more. There's some hokiness in the first one with the suit character, like I said, Kittredge. There's a couple things I really didn't like about one, but I was so pleasantly surprised about what I did like about it. But kind of, a sober look back, I think the franchise gets better and better and better after a certain point.
I'm not going to disagree with anything you said. I actually, Mission Impossible 1 is my number 4/3, I guess. So I enjoyed it so much, and I can't believe I have it that low. That's really a testament to how great these movies have been.
Yeah.
But the supporting cast at Hall of Famers, you had Vanessa Redgrave, you had John Voight. It really gave this like panache, this edge of seriousness that I think this series needed to start off on and be a success.
Right.
Loved one myself. My number 5 or 4, however you want to rank it, the first one I rank after 2, Mission Impossible 2, was Ghost Protocol.
I figured you're going to do that.
It felt like a storyline made for the television series.
It felt like, and I didn't say this in the Ghost Protocol review, when I was trying to put my finger on what it reminded me of, it felt like an older James Bond movie or the TV series, like you said, that I never seen.
Yeah.
But it felt like Brad Bird's love letter for the old stuff.
Russian nukes,
That retro Incredibles, retro future, retro present. That's what it felt like.
Right.
Whereas the rest of these movies felt like a modern James Bond warfare.
Yeah.
Yeah. New James Bond with modern warfare and the height of technology.
And it was unfair because we're having our first bad guy in Hendrix, fresh off what Philip Seymour Hoffman did with the Owen Davian character in 3.
I feel like they kind of took the plot shot and just said, all right, it's very convoluted and overcomplicated, but let's just make some great stuff in between this plot. And it'll weave together all these great sequences and scenes and funny jokes. And I do think that worked for this movie in many ways. So I ranked it a little higher because the goods delivered, the action movie goods, when I walk into a movie like this. But I would probably agree with you that as a film, and critics overrated 4.
I think so too.
Because of 3, in my opinion. So, yeah.
He doesn't get nearly enough love.
The highs of 4 are so high. So
you're not wrong. I don't think you can be. These are. Name me a franchise that has had multiple films beyond 3, the Beyond a Trilogy, where there's one subpar script, one subpar movie. There's not many that exist.
Not many that keep the quality that high. Like the Harry Potter series. Maybe we'll review that at some point.
Yeah.
There's a couple stinkers.
Yeah,
in there.
No question.
Stanky.
Sorry.
Stanky.
Sorry.
Sorry, I love those books too.
Yeah. But. All right, what'd you have for... So I had MI2, MI4 Ghost Protocol, and Mission Impossible 1 are my bottom 3, quote unquote.
So I had 2, 1, now counting down to my number 4-3 is... A lot of numbers here. Mission Impossible 5, Rogue Nation. I just think it didn't have the highs for me necessarily that the last movie had. But it talks about to my tastes. It's just hard because my tastes are more for the kind of Brad Bird sequence. Like, I love sequences in this. But in terms of a great fight movie, great fight. In terms of a great chase movie, great chase. In terms of a great, probably one of the best scripts, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Probably the best script.
That's why I have it a little higher rated for that those reasons. And this is where you really get the personal Ethan Hunt touch. I mean, it permeates all throughout 3. It takes a step back in Ghost Protocol. But that ending, the finale of Rogue Nation, Mission Impossible 5, that finale is so personal. And it adds, it's the villain playing it perfectly as well for that little snivelly villain like we talked about. There's so many highs for me in the script. And you get the big action sequence with Rebecca Ferguson at the end that it's been sorely lacking up to that point. I have it a little higher, but yeah, I echo all your highs with it as well. I loved Rogue Nation. My number 3/2, I guess.
Sure.
Mission Impossible 3. I love Philip Seymour Hoffman. He was so badly needed to pick up this franchise after 2 and return it to respectability.
He raised the level of the entire franchise, as did J.J. Abrams, in my opinion.
Yes.
Saved it in many ways, because we talked about Mission Impossible 3 having kind of long coattails for 4. I think 3's enhancement to the reviews, that allowed 4 to get just the rapturous praise it got. Because
3 is underrated.
It's underrated.
Not, and we spoke about this previously, too. There's people out there that have it below 2. I don't see how.
There are relentless action movie goods delivered in that movie. There are small action scenes, like in the elevator. There are big action set pieces that really work well. And there's a lot of close quarter stuff. The thing about that movie is the spectacle you're not taking a tour of Europe's landmarks and then have Tom Cruise climb them and do crazy shit on them in that movie. It's more of kind of, all right, they're at a warehouse or they're at on a bridge. Yeah, it's a landmark, but it's not like, okay, we're fighting on top of the Statue of Liberty at the end of a Hitchcock film kind of deal. We're not on the Burj Khalifa.
It did do a lot in establishing Ethan Hunt the man, because he's not Ethan Hunt, the infallible superhero that can do no wrong.
Right.
That relationship with Michelle Monaghan is exploited, and it gives him layers, it gives her layers.
But yeah, I think in terms of being a character study, it might be one of the strongest, in my opinion.
And take a look at the ancillary stuff that you hit on.
Right.
J.J. Abrams' first major motion picture solo venture. Philip Seymour Hoffman coming in and being the big bad. There's so much stuff to it.
I just
Kerry Russell as a spy.
The closest any one of these 5 movies came to Fallout's Exhale, where I just am so relieved at the end of it, was Mission Impossible 3 for me.
I will say that was, and since it gives away what my 2/1 is, Mission Impossible 3, ranking Rogue Nation ahead of it, primarily because of that finale, was the hardest decision for me in this
round. Tough calls. Can't argue with you. I loved 5, 4, and 3, but for me, that's how it counts down. I have 5 as my 3. I have 4 as my 2 because I love the big set pieces.
Right.
The highs are so high for me of Ghost Protocol. So I have Rogue Nation, Ghost Protocol, Counting Down, and my number 1 is Mission Impossible 3, I think, just because of the...
We might be the only people that die on that hill, that it's a top 2, top 3 Mission Impossible movie.
It was my favorite rewatch. It was the most surprising of the rewatches because I don't remember loving that movie years ago. I remember liking it.
Right.
But here I am having reviewed... How many Oscar movies since we started this sucker? You know, hundreds of Oscar movies. We're at over 100 episodes. So we've done episodes with 40 movies reviewed.
Yeah.
We have movies of this quality.
We don't have friends.
We don't. And Mission Impossible 3 just gave me such a feeling of... I was emotional when he's walking away.
Yeah, of course.
And never mind, but such a feeling of satisfaction.
It was beautiful. It was really a beautiful movie. You might have just convinced me that I had it wrong, and I should put it above Rogue Nation.
No, here's my problem with Rogue Nation is I played on the floor with the puppy the 2 watches. And I kind of yada-yada'd like a lot of the rewatch, around the 3rd rewatch, and it was satisfying to me as well.
That finale, I just can't get over. But yeah, Philip Seymour Hoffman, you're splitting the baby between probably the 2 best villains of the series. Number 1, as we said, of course, is Fallout because it's a legitimate Best Picture contender, and none of the other 6 are, or 5 are.
As good of a movie experience we've had in a long time.
Probably the best action movie experience I've had maybe ever. I don't know. I have to go back and research, but...
Yeah. Yeah. It's for me, maybe since The Dark Knight. I haven't been this exhilarated since The Dark Knight in 2008, I want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the 10-year anniversary, 2008.
Yeah. All right, so that's the official re-rank. We thank you for taking this ride with us through the Mission Impossible cinematic universe.
This was fun.
Like we said, we thought this was going to be an Oscar off-season type thing, and
we built up to a true blue Oscar contender.
Stumbled into an Oscar contender. So that was a lot of fun for
Good
us
call,
to do,
buddy.
And it's kind of the start of our Oscar series going forward, where we're going to take a shine to the Academy Awards, as we did last year. If you were with us for that, we're going to buckle up, and we're about to do the same again. And if this is your first time with us, enjoy the ride, because I don't think there's a lot of people in the business that do it as well as entertaining as we do, to pat ourselves on the back a little bit. So what'd you think about the Mission Impossible series? What'd you think about the movie? What'd you think about Fallout in general? Contact us, Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on Twitter, MikeMikeAndOscar.com @gmail.com, and of course on Reddit. We want to hear from you guys. We love talking to you. You can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, etc., etc.
We're everywhere.
Leave us those reviews. We really appreciate those. Michael, any last words of wisdom?
It's pride. I'm proud of this series. We've done a lot of series on this show. MCU was a massive one.
Yeah.
This one turned out to be much bigger than we originally thought. We thought we were going to do like a 3-pod series on this. Turned out we did 7 pods. I'm very proud of this because we really did a lot of good work with the rewatches. There's spoiler sections, non-spoiler sections to open up. So you got like 30 minutes of non-spoilers if you didn't see one of these movies and you just want to kind of get a feel for it before you rewatch. So you can listen to this 2 years from now.
Yeah. And aside
and I
from
think
the,
it holds up.
From the feeling, I mean, I echo your sentiments, and aside from the feelings of personal accomplishment, I think we were both surprised to be turned on to such a quality franchise, and there's a reason it's still going 20 some odd years later.
Who'd have known? Yeah. We remembering this franchise, we're like, yeah, good action movies, right?
Yeah, totally underrated.
Worthwhile popcorn movie trips, but no, Oscar level talent, Oscar level scenes, Oscar level performances. If you re-adjudicated,
look at you,
previous
$10 word
Academy votes. I think you would factor more of these Mission Impossible categories.
And hopefully the Academy can right that wrong this year. And maybe we'll see Fallout make a mention of it. So having gone through all this, before we officially close out, see by skip, the MCU, the Mission Impossible Cinematic Universe. And
my brother texted me something to the same thing.
What do you love?
Star Wars.
What do you love most? What can I hurt you with? And sure, the Star Wars series.
Star Wars, MCU, Mission Impossible. Well, it's hard to throw the MCU in there. Can we discuss a certain phase of the MCU? The Avengers. Ooh, because Avengers 4, I'm expecting to be the best. Gosh darn it. All right, are we talking about the recent? How about this?
I want you to just me your choices.
Avengers, the last 3 Mission Impossibles. And,
sure.
And the last 2 Star Wars movies.
The last 4 Mission Impossibles, including Fallout and MI3, because I know you love it.
the original Star Wars trilogy has to be up there. I loved the recent Avengers movie. God, you know how to hurt me.
Yes, that's the intent here. I'm just smiling. Your pain satisfies me.
I have to skip one?
Yeah.
I would rewatch all of these right now.
Do away with it forever.
Not go to sleep. Yeah? Just give me a case of Red Bull. I would watch all these movies until sleep never happened. Gosh darn it. I think I'm so saturated with Star Wars that I would skip it.
Wow. Didn't see that coming.
I'm a company man because we haven't re-ranked Star Wars as of yet.
2019's coming, though.
Oscar off season, maybe then. Maybe it's Solo's fault because I didn't love Solo.
We have episode 9 in the pipeline. You're just ready to do away with it. J.J. Abrams returns. You're done with it.
We have a quick-isode, which we'll never do again at this rate because we keep going longer and longer. It's Solo's fault.
All right, I'm gonna say so that's out.
Skip Star Wars. I'm going to say...
Are you a victim of the now? Or do you hold true to what you love?
I'm going to say I have more A's in the MCU at this point, honestly.
That's what I thought you would go
I have
with.
More A's in the MCU, so I'm buying the MCU, but I'm seeing Mission Impossible.
Listen, I'm with you. I don't know how you cannot. But to wrap up there, you made it through. You're alive. Good job. I'm sorry I had to do that to you.
That was hard. I'm sweating.
Guys, reality sucks. Keep watching movies and impossible missions and all the fun stuff as we get towards the Oscar sprint with us. I think it's time to say officially, runners, take your marks. And we're off.
See ya. Now I know why you want to hate me. Because hate is all the runners even see lately.